Good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live tonight, this July 20th. Can you believe it? July 20th, 2017. A rainy, if you could see it outside, it's a rainy evening here at the Radio Ranch. There's water all over the place. We probably got at least a couple of tenths, two tenths, three tenths of an inch of rain here just in the last 2 hours. It has been great. The lightning's popping. The clouds are all over. The thunder's rolling. And hopefully we'll get through this broadcast with without the power of the internet going off. Lightning popping all around. Praise the Lord. He sends his good weather, his good rain in its season. And, you know, we sure thank him for the green grass and for the beautiful days. And, you know, we just have to thank him for this rain and for the lightning and thunder as well. Lightning already heard. It started a fire in town, but they got that out okay. But that's nature. That's God. That's how it is. We thank him for the time of trials. We thank him for the rain and the thunder and the lightning as much as we thank him for the beautiful green blue sky days, green grass, and what we call good weather. Well, we do thank you here. We better start with a word of prayer before we get any further, though. So join me, won't you? Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this rain, Lord. Thank you for the storm that you bring. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you that, Lord, your lightning, your thunder comes. We pray for your protection for your people, Lord, that they would be safe. There'd be no flash floods. There'd be no lightning strikes of your people. And Lord, we look to you. We hear the rain and we say, oh, Lord, send the rain. We thank you for it. We know it nourishes, it cleanses, and we thank you. Thank you for it, Lord. We know it helps with the fires that we have in the area. Lord, we thank you that you also send the latter rain, Lord, your word, the instructions, the understanding, the discernment that you send, Lord, upon your people. We pray for it, Lord, that we would be able to read your word and understand it. That, Father, we would be able to apply it in our lives. And we pray that for the remnant, Father, that they do that just as we do our best to do that, Lord, to read, not only read, but to study and apply your word. It is what we need in these days to get through, to succeed. Lord, not just to squeak by, but to thrive. And Lord, to have peace in our homes and peace in our lives. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross for us to become a sin, the sin for us, to save us from our sins. Lord, he became a curse for us to save us from the curse. And he redeemed us, Lord, that perfect, unblemished lamb, the sacrifice of all sacrifices. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. We know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit tonight to be with me, to guide and direct my thoughts and my words, and to be with the remnant, Lord, as we read in your word and do our best to study it and apply it in our lives. Lord, grant us wisdom. Grant me wisdom and discernment, Lord, and rightfully reading and presenting your word. And Lord, I do pray for the remnant, Father. I pray for all those tuned in, and I pray the broadcast goes out strong and to your glory, that it does put a smile on your face, Lord, and that it's edifying to your people. And I pray all this to your glory, Lord, the glory of Jesus Christ in his name, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And amen. Folks, we got the phone lines working. They didn't get it fixed yet. They got they call it a loaner system that they send to us, and we got that in UPS and got it installed. So we do have the phone lines back open if you want to call in tonight. We'll have open phone lines tonight, 307-745-5913. Looked at the headlines today, and I just couldn't bring myself to present them tonight. The killings, the murders, saw something about three youths just watched a man drown and just videotaped it, laughing, mocking him, watched him drown and die. And that came it's horrible. Oh, Lord, if there's ever been a time that we need to be praying over our family, praying over our food, the Roundup Ready seed, the farmers, so-called farmers, they buy this seed, they don't even have to spray it. Of course, the weeds won't grow in it, the rats and mice won't eat it, the cows don't want to eat it, but they just feed it to us. If there's ever been a time, folks, that we have needed to pray over our food, that fathers, you need to pray on that full armor and put on that full armor of God each day and pray it on your wife and your family. Pray for your children. Doesn't matter if they're 2 or 22 or 62. If you have children, pray for them. And pray to be led by the Holy Spirit. If there's ever been a time, it's today. And you may think that it's old hat, and oh, I heard that before. Well, there are things happening today that we are unaware of that we need to pray about. We need to pray about. Hopefully you're reading your Bibles. We encourage you to do that as well. I spoke with a brother on the phone, and he's traveling. And I spoke with him, and he kind of had a concern. He said, I just don't feel that I'm as close to God as I used to be. And I want to draw closer to God. And so I asked him, I said, well, are you reading your Bible daily? And he said, no. And I said, well, are you praying daily? Do you start your day off in prayer, the Lord's Prayer, praying on the full armor and praying for yourself and your family and the remnant and the church and the country and our leaders? He said, no. And so I gave him that solution, the solution to his problem. I said, well, as the Bible tells us, if you want to grow nearer to God, if you want him to be back in his good graces, if you want to grow in his grace and knowledge, you have to work at it. And you have to put forth the effort. And he agreed with that. It doesn't really matter if you agree with it or not. It's the truth. And so if you want to grow nearer to God, sometimes we pray that. Well, many times God will bring adversity, trials, tribulations, sickness, job loss, monetary loss, vehicle breakdowns, you name it. He will allow these things to come into our life for that very thing, to draw us near to him. That is what our God desires. He desires fellowship with us. That's why God created Adam, right? Way back in the beginning. He desires fellowship with us. We should desire fellowship with him. And I can tell you, folks, it's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better to... Ooh, got some lightning out there, Lord. Praise the Lord. It is a whole lot better to purposefully and willfully, in the good times, do your best to practice righteousness, to do your best to draw near to him now while you're not in the hospital, now while your vehicle is running, now while the children are healthy, while the wife or the spouse, whatever it may be, when things are well. Because Christian, there can come a time when you have no choice but to draw near to God. And you don't want it to be in weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says to study to show ourselves approved. I don't study to show myself approved to you. And you are not to study to show yourself approved to me. We are to study to read the Word, to apply it, to be Christians, to live this lifestyle, this way, to be approved by God. You know, when he returns, he is coming to render recompense for what we have done, to pay us back. Now, certainly, we've been forgiven of our sins if we have confessed and repented and believed and been baptized and washed in the blood and had our sins wash away. But that's not the end. That's the beginning. Remember that. And so we are to continue on in being doers of the word. And I guess that kind of leads me to our Bible reading for today. It's 1 Timothy, just the first little bit, 1 Timothy 1 through 3. We're reading in the epistles this week, Colossians for on Sunday, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the first half of this week, and starting in Timothy. And Timothy, talks about godliness. And we learn so much this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, as it says in chapter 1, verse 2, my true child in the faith. And this is one of many, six New Testament letters, New Testament scriptures written to individuals. Timothy is, Titus, Philemon, 2nd and 3rd John. And it shows this letter, and being that we have it in the Bible, it shows and addresses the importance of what one person should and can do and should do. And we're going to read a little bit about it, and there's a reason that not only that it's in the Bible reading plan for today, but I'll share a little something with you in a bit. Even when Paul writes in here that, Christ came to save sinners, and he proclaims that he was the chiefest of them all. We have to remember, this is the Apostle Paul. This is him who persecuted Christians, who sought out letters, warrants, you might say, to go and arrest and persecute those that were following the way, who stood and held the coats as Stephen was stoned and died, who had the Damascus Road experience and was blinded for 3 days. And then when you read about it in Acts, he believed, he repented, and he was baptized. He was healed, but he was baptized as well. And so don't want you to think out there that we're backing off baptism at all. We're not. It is a foundational issue, a foundational rock of Christianity. It is truly one of the keys to the kingdom. And so, as Paul is aging, he's writing. That's kind of the basis for this letter to Timothy. And so, it's written in the first person. Now, it's certainly for all of us, but it's written in the first person to Timothy. And all of these letters written in the New Testament like that, like we said, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, 2 and 3 John, Philemon, they address us individually. Now, part of Timothy explains how bishops and elders are to be, and overseers and deacons, and again, that's individually. It also talks about how the good minister is to be, and what we are to do, how women are instructed individually, how the church is to be, and it's made up of each and every one of us individually, and it's how we are. And all these letters that were written were all written to redeem sinners like us, working for the kingdom of God in one way or another. When it says written to the saints, well, those saints weren't always saints. We have to remember that. And these that, these letters, they were written, the way they were written, those that they were written to benefited from the advice and the encouragement as we do today. And they stand as examples of living our life for the glory of God, and of course in the hope of that eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus. it highlights again, it tells us again of Christ's purpose of coming into the world. Why? To save sinners. Well, guess what? We're not the only sinners out there. There's other sinners out there. He came and he saved us. Well, there's other sinners that still need to be saved. And we stand with Paul, when the Apostle Paul, when he said, you know, if Christ can save him, he can save anyone. And that's about where we're at. So just a couple of comments on that. You know, we see it changing here too. Time has marched on. This is years, of course, after the death of Christ. And now Paul, who was Saul, has come up and has lived a long life. And he is aging. And he's writing this letter to a much younger Timothy, who is continuing on in the ministry, continuing on in Christianity, in the way. And it gives insights for a new generation. This new generation, that's how we have to see Timothy. It's not that the story's changing. Just as we see that now, we see the generation coming up now, getting repenting, becoming young adults, getting baptized, and choosing to follow God in their life, in their marriage, in their home, in their work. And we saw it in the last generation, and the generation before that I was in, the same thing. But each generation, they're going to do it a little different. They're going to be a little different. Each generation is a little different. We can still have that foundation of Christ. And that's part of what this letter is. And again, just, you know, I think if we understand what the precept and the concept of these letters that we have as the Holy Scripture, that we see that they do apply to us individually. In 1 Timothy 1, I think it's down here in 15, it says, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." Now those are the letters of the Apostle Paul, but I can say me too. And we should all have that attitude. Because we are all sinners, foremost of all. Got a couple different versions of Bibles tonight that I wanted to share this first little bit from you. And we had Brother Ralph on the Hope is Alive program last night, and he made mention, was going to try to have Ralph on the radio tonight, but he's traveling and was unable to come on tonight. But he made mention of a person that had had been in contact with some that of that have left this ministry, and apparently was in contact maybe for some guidance, for some direction, for some help, is the way I understood it. And I talked with Brother Ralph today, and I think I've got it pretty well straight. And so. So this person was doing that, and however they got over to some of those that have left this ministry, not sure, but it doesn't seem like the best advice was given, the best good godly advice. As a matter of fact, lies were told and lies were given, and we know that lies are told about us, that there are those out there that hate us for no reason, that hate us when all we have done is to the very best of our ability lead a godly life and treat others with respect and with honor. And yet we're hated because of that. And it really comes as no surprise, because the scriptures tell us time and time again that the world hated Christ. And if we follow Christ truly, the world will hate us. Now, we don't go out there trying to make the world hate us. But we certainly do our best to live our lives and in this ministry to honor God. And to do our best to please God instead of man. And we continue to do that with each and every person we talk to. and each and every day that we work here. That's the foundation, one of the foundations that our pastor laid, and we do our best to continue on with that. So, you know, I heard Ralph mention that last night. We talked a little bit, and Hope is alive, and it really bothered our brother Ralph, and it should. It bothers us when we are lied about, when people tell lies, and people give bad advice, unbiblical advice, when they are, for whatever reason, looked upon or asked upon for understanding or for advice or for help. And they give it from that position of authority, from that position of godly understanding. And it's just blatantly wrong and full of lies and falsehoods. It does make you mad, and it hurts, and it bothers you that here this brethren that was asking is being led down the wrong path and being led astray, and. But then we do have to back off, and we have to remember sometimes that God works all things for good for those that love Him, and it gives us an opportunity, hopefully an opportunity with that brother, to set him right, to be able to give him proper biblical advice and leading and guidance and understanding, and we certainly do that through prayer, and so. Let me read a little bit here in 1 Timothy and see if I'm not going to read the whole thing. Our Bible reading plan is 1 Timothy 1 through 3. Not going to get through all of it, but I encourage you, if you have not read this, you need to. Oh, you need to be reading. And so we'll start out. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, as I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogy, which gives rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. Whew. See, they had that problem then, just as apparently we have that problem now. Have a picked up a Bible. It's called the New Living Translation. Here's a different translation. I haven't gone through it. I haven't checked how it looks at at salvation. I doubt that it's proper. I don't even see a date on the inside of this. I got this as a gift, actually, but it's a Tyndale, and it has some pretty good references in it. But anyway, I want to read it. I want to read a couple points about this same passage here in 1 Timothy, where it says, "Don't let people waste time in endless speculations over myths and spiritual pedigrees. They only cause arguments. They don't help people live a life of faith in God." And Paul goes on and says, "The purpose of my instruction is that all the Christians there would be filled with love that comes from," here we have it again, "a pure heart, a clear conscience, and sincere faith." And when you have a clear conscience, when you've confessed your sin before God, when you've asked God to forgive you of your sins known and unknown, when you've asked for forgiveness from being deceived and from being a deceiver, if that by chance has happened, you have a clear conscience. When you know that you're doing the best you can, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're tithing, you're forgiving, you're living the Christian life, you should have a clear conscience, because that shows a sincere faith. And those do come from a pure heart, from asking God to cleanse our heart, to create in us a new heart. And it's that love. And so when we do talk with people, when we're asked, if we don't reply in love, it doesn't matter if we can quote the whole scripture, the whole book, and give references and just give the perfect 100% truthful answer. If it's not given with love, it's wrong. It's as simple as that. He goes on here in this New Living Translation, but some teachers have missed this whole point. And unfortunately, it is that way. Some have just missed the point. Now, we need to, each and every one of us, I think, take this as an admonition and as a warning that we don't fall into that category, that we don't miss the whole point of teaching wrong doctrines, of people wasting time in endless speculation over myths and different things and arguments, and not helping people live a life of faith in God. Isn't it, that's part of our duty, to obey God, to honor God. What is the royal law? To share one another's burdens, to care for one another, to love our neighbors, ourselves. And that's what he says here. These things that Paul is warning Timothy about don't help people live a life of faith in God. He goes on and says, they've turned away from these things. They spend their time arguing and talking foolishness. They want to be known as teachers of the law. Boy, we've heard that before. Teachers of the law. But they don't know what they're talking about, even though they seem so confident. We know these laws are good when they are used as God intended. If you have any questions about the law, yeah, the law is good for us. The law is our tutor to Christ. If you have any questions about the law, I suggest a couple of messages by our pastor. We've sent them out on the tape ministry. We have them here. They are called Lawful Law and The Spirit of the Pharisee. And they go a long way. They are teachings from our pastor. And they go a long way in pointing out that law. And that the law is good when they're used as God intended. Lawful law. And so, you know, way back here in Ephesus, apparently these false teachers in Ephesus were claiming certain knowledge. And certain activities were necessary for salvation. And the teachings were causing division and pride among the believers, since some of them claimed to have special knowledge. And you know, we sure saw that, I paused for a minute, we sure saw that with the holy name issue. And every now and then that pops back up. You'd think it was laid to rest. Because some would come up and, well, I know the holy name, and I use the holy name. Therefore, I have a greater depth of understanding. And I have an in with Father Yahweh. And it causes pride. You apply the fruit test. Nothing ever came out of the holy name. Nothing ever good and God honoring or Jesus Christ honoring ever came out of the holy name movement. Apply the fruit test. By their fruits you shall know them. How many times did that help people live a life of faith in God and Yahweh? No, that's not what our English Bibles tell us. That's not how Jesus Christ, he addressed the Father as Heavenly Father. I think what Jesus did should be good enough for us. Anyway, that's a rabbit hole there. Sorry about that. But these things, then, just as they do now, they lead the believers away from the essentials of the faith and the only source of salvation, Jesus Christ. And it's the same way today. There's many today who claim to have solutions. Many of their programs assume we can redeem and change our lives without God's help. No. No. The problems in this world are, the problem in this world is sin, folks. Is sin. And you don't get washed away from sin. You don't get redeemed from sin. You don't get forgiven from sin except by the blood of Jesus Christ. By believing, yes, and obeying. Not just believing, because the demons believe and they shudder, but also obeying. And we would be wise to listen to Paul's advice here to Timothy, his exhortation, his instructions, and steer clear of people who teach these things. They do not, when they teach these things, they do not help people live a life of faith in God. Paul commanded Timothy to fight God's battles well. And that you see that like in verse 18, he says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about earlier. May they give you confidence to do well in the Lord's battles. And this kind of, it's a continuation almost of the earlier thoughts about upholding God's truth against false teachers. You know, our pastor even would put out, and he would say, he'd say it from the pulpit, don't believe me. You look it up yourself. You are charged to go look it up in the Word, see if it is true or not. And you know, if we don't like it, if it doesn't sit well with us, if it's not the way we were raised, if it's not the way we think it ought to be, if it's not how we remembered reading it last time we read it, the problem lies with us, folks, not with the Word. There was some movement a few years ago about time travelers that were going around and changing all the Bibles, changing what they said in them, and ooh, what a crock of hogwash. It's sin, folks. The Word is true. We either believe that or we don't. And if we don't believe that, well, we're worse off than any of them. But we do believe it. We do know that it's true. We see His Word come true time and time again. The point of 1 Timothy, character is more important than talent. Character is more important than talent. I pulled an old, we have a reprint of the Geneva Bible. And, you know, that reads similar to a King James. And so sometimes when you read it, you kind of have to think about it. I like, our pastor admonished us to use different translations. We normally read out of the New American Standard, but I like some of these other translations just to read when you're studying. We should do that. Again, we study to show ourselves approved to God and to ourselves so we can have a greater understanding. But here in this 1 Timothy, verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I departed into Macedonia, so do, that thou mayest warn some that they teach none other doctrine, neither that they give heed to fables and genealogies which are endless, which breed questions rather than godly edifying, which is by faith. See, you can't, you may be able to track your genealogies back 200 years. Maybe your folks came over on the Mayflower. I doubt it, because most of those people died within a couple years. But oh, you hear that today. Well, I can track it back to here. You don't know what your grandparents did or who they did what with. And that's what the Apostle Paul was telling this new generation of Christians. Is that don't worry about that. That used to be so important. That's what he's telling them. Oh, you had to follow it back. Now, not that it's not important. But is it as important in faith in Christ Jesus And I'd say, no, it's not. For the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. I like how they put it here in the Geneva. For the end of the commandment. The end of the commandment. From the first to the last. The end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, unstained, unshattered, of faith solid. Verse 6, from the which things some have erred and have turned into vain jangling. You ever heard somebody jangling, used to jangle their coins in their pocket, jangle, and it's just aggravating. And that's what the term here is. And again, this is the same verses here from the Geneva Bible, 1 Timothy verse 6. From that which things? The end of the commandment, love, out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith, from the which things some have erred, and have turned into vain jangling. They would be doctors of the law, and yet understand not what they speak, neither whereof they affirm. Now, I can tell you, I sure don't claim to be a doctor of the law or a teacher of the law. But I do have some understanding of how it applies. Boy, you could be a meteorologist here today, because it is just raining and hailing. Ooh, praise the Lord. Here comes another band of it. Getting a good soaking today. That's good. And praise the Lord, the lightning hadn't popped the power out yet. We just hope that it doesn't. That it doesn't. So no, we don't claim to be doctors of the law or teachers of the law, but you know, we did have our pastor that we worked under and that we sat under for years and years and years. And had teachings and admonishings from him, and not that we worship him, no more than Timothy worshiped Paul. Paul was telling Timothy about the good way, as our pastor taught us about the good way, and it always points to Christ. One of the footnotes in the Geneva, and that's one of the great things. We carry the Geneva Bible, by the way. It's a reprint, very readable. It's a good-sized font, and we carry a Geneva Bible. It's not cheap. It's on the news. We get it in the newsletter. I don't have one back here with me. Maybe I do. It's on the website, and don't know if we've got it in here. We listed it in or not. We kind of rotate it in and out of the newsletter. But if you'd like one of those, we carry them, the Geneva Bible. And we'd be glad to send you one. And but it again, it is it's the scriptures, the way they were written, as the pilgrims brought them over. And the footnote down here says the doctrine is corrupted, and that's from verse 4 about the giving heed to fables and breeding questions rather than godly edifying. The doctrine is corrupted not only by false opinions, but also by vain and curious speculations. The declaration and utterance whereof can nothing help our faith. And, you know, sometimes things will get brought up, and I've spoken with people here at the that have called in and asked for, you know, what about this or what about that? And sometimes it's that way, vain and curious speculations. Well, what about this and what about that? Maybe this happened. Maybe that happened. Well, you know, maybe it did, but it's vain speculations when we step outside of the Word. We have to be very careful when we do step outside of the Word. I like the footnote here for... Let's see, it's for verse 15, from verse 5, about the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. And it says, there is neither love without a good conscience, nor a good conscience without faith, nor faith without the Word of God. And so, you know, it kind of brings me back to that brother I talked to that said he wanted to, he just wasn't feeling his prayers being answered. He wasn't feeling the presence of God, but he wasn't saying his prayers. He wasn't going to God. He wasn't putting forth the effort. He wasn't reading or listening to the word. And it's we cannot have faith. We cannot have faith in a continuation. We cannot continue to live a spiritual life without being fed the Word of God. It's as simple as that. Without feeding yourself the Word of God, taking the time to read, to listen. It's as simple as that. Your spiritual man or woman will die without a daily diet of the Word. It is as simple as that. Well, folks, we've got about 10 minutes left. The lightning hadn't popped us off yet, but boy, it's trying to. Do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. We had them down for a week or two, but we've got them back up and running. If you have a comment, have about 10 minutes left tonight on this July 20th. And here in the New English Bible has a note here. I'll read this here. Again, from Paul to Timothy, verse 3 says, "You were to command certain persons to give up teaching erroneous doctrines and studying these interminable myths and genealogy, which issue in mere speculation and cannot make known God's plan for us, which works through faith." And the footnote to that is, "or cannot promote the faithful discharge of God's stewardship." And really, that's what all of us are. We are stewards. Praise God. I thank God for the opportunity to be, and I pray to be a better steward every day. But I thank Him for the opportunity He's given me to be a steward here at the ministry. I know it's not my ministry. It's a ministry of Jesus Christ. And I want to promote the faithful discharge of God's stewardship. And I know that cannot be done in teaching erroneous doctrines, studying those myths and genealogy, and just worrying about this mere speculation. No. We stand on the Word. And if the Word tells us that something is sin, well, we call it sin. The Word tells us that you must, you know, it commands us to repent and be baptized, so we stand on that. The Word goes through all through the Gospels, and it tells how Jesus cast out evil spirits and demons. So you know what? I believe that there are evil spirits and demons, because my Word tells me that. The Bible tells us that. If you think that it was just mindless speculations, or just their mind or their thought, well, brother, you're wrong. And I tell you that in love, not to say I'm right and you're wrong, but just to say the Word is right. And if the Word says it, we are to believe it. We are to apply it. That's the admonition that Paul is giving to Timothy. And you read all through it. And how about 1 Timothy 2? "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." And you say, well, isn't that nice? Well, guess what? Nero was the Roman emperor during this time, during the time that Paul and Peter were martyred. And before that, Paul writes this to Peter. See, it's an encouragement to the next generation. He's saying, pray, entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings. Pray for the men, for the people in authority, for the town that you're in, for the city. Folks, we are to do that today as well. Let us not forego this teaching of Paul to Timothy in this generation that we're in. And then, of course, when you read through it in verse 3, chapter 3, about overseers and deacons, it's a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to be to the office of overseer or bishop or deacon, it's a fine work. And then it explains how we are to be. Now, you know, if we're not to be there, that's a good goal. It's a good thing to desire to strive for. And if we see something amiss in our life that we read in here, well, then we are to correct it. We aren't to say, well, that's okay. We'll just be that way anyway. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, good evening. Welcome to 7 times 70.
Good evening, brother.
Hey, you did make it.
I was able to make part of it.
That's all right. We've got about 5 minutes left, so that's okay.
Okay.
But, yeah, I got to read through.
A thought that occurred to me.
Timothy,
I was listening.
Okay, great.
But I wanted to get to this thought that I believe the Holy Spirit revealed to me today about baptism and deliverance. If baptism was the end of it, a Christian walk, if it was the end of everything, and it took care of everything, then we wouldn't need anything past Acts 2:38.
Yeah.
We wouldn't need all those teachings that Paul, Peter, James wrote to Christians.
Yes.
Not the unsaved, Christians. We wouldn't need all that stuff. And if baptism was the all of end all, then when they went through the Red Sea, which we know according to 1 Peter 3:21, that corresponded to that baptism now saves you, that was the baptism of the nation coming out of Egypt. They wouldn't need that 40 years in the desert to deliver them from all the idols, all the false worship, all the demons they picked up there.
Amen. Amen. It is, baptism serves its purpose, but it is, like you said, brother, it is not the end. It is a new beginning. It is a new beginning. And when we have a proper biblical baptism, which is what we are supposed to do, but you know, that comes after belief, certainly, but repentance and public confession, then you have that new creature. The old has died, the new is there. Well, then what? That's not the end. That's not the end of the battle. That's not the end of our Christian walk. That is the beginning. And we have our battles in our Christian walk. Anyone that'll be honest with themselves will admit to that.
That's right. And being forgiven of sin does not always mean that there isn't a consequence because of the sin.
Oh, for sure. For sure,
I mean, we can look at David. David was forgiven the minute he went to his knees and tore off his clothes through ashcloth. And when Nathan the prophet said, "Thou art the man," he was forgiven, but there were still consequences, and those curses fell upon his seed.
Yes. Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
But David did not have the access to the blood of Jesus like we do. He only had the hope of that coming. He didn't have the access that we have, which gives us now a shared power and authority to do these ourselves. And I
yes.
believe if the blood of Jesus was there, that when all these things are going to Absalom, it could have easily been said, instead of chased him with the sword, it could easily have been said, "In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit to come out of you, Absalom."
Yes. I don't disagree with you. I don't. I you know, we what a blessing we have to live on this side of the cross, on this side of Christ.
Amen.
Even though Christ was there with him in the wilderness and there with him through the Red Sea, and with the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, we have that blood of Christ today to cleanse us of that. And we have been given the power and authority over things that David did not have power and authority over. We have been given power and authority. But we have to use them. We have to apply them. We have to use the tools that God gives us to continue
I
in
mean,
our Christian
imagine, Louis, look at all the miracles that both Elijah and Elijah did. I mean, they raised the dead.
Yes.
They called down fire.
Yes.
They caused a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil to last all through a drought.
Yes.
These are all foreshadowings of things that Christ did, but that was two men.
Yep.
That one had to ask for a double portion from the other before he could do it, and they didn't have access to the cross, and Jesus gave that to all Christians.
Oh, yes. James 5, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It didn't rain. Then he prayed again, and it poured rain. That to me, Ralph, that shows that a man with a nature like ours, that means we can do that. We can do that.
You know what that means? At one time, he was just as rotten as you and I were.
That's right. That's right. Just as Paul wrote that, you know, if Christ can save, he said, if he can save me, he can save anybody. He came to save sinners of who I am the worst. And I opened the program saying, yep, I can say me too. And I'm sure we all can. We all can. Well, brother, we are out of time. Thanks for the call.
That's right. And, all right. God bless
you. God bless you, brother. And folks, thanks. Right. Appreciate you tuning in tonight. And, hey, join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And plan now on joining us for church. Get it set up now. I have a guest speaker coming into town tomorrow, and you are not going to want to miss it. Good night, folks. I like this story here because I do love to tell the story. I love it. Good night.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell.